This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Houston, this is the SS Salty Rocket. Are we clear for takeoff?
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The following program is a show intended for an adult audience. Our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
You're with
Poor Andrew the Apprentice.
On Hide and Seek.
You are on Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. But no Andrew the Apprentice. He is being a lady of leisure this evening. He's taking the long weekend off. You're with Abby Miller and James Finlay. And joining us in the studio, two Joystons. We've got Jono from Sound Museum. We've got Michael from Backstreet S&M and Babble Pop.
Good evening.
Backstreet.
Backstreet.
Like an alleyway.
Well, it's hide and seek. Sorry, Backseat S&M.
That's, well, it's the same thing,
it's
really.
It's the same thing. You're in the back.
Exactly.
It's up the back.
It's comfy there. Mm-hmm.
Welcome, boys.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, over the next hour, we will be talking about dating, and I'm sure a lot of people will want to get involved in this, so you can 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. Tell us your dating horror stories.
Tell us your dating lovely stories.
Yeah,
if,
great.
If you've had an amazing first date, something surprising, he took me hot air ballooning, or he took me paintballing, or he took me...
It's been a while since you've been dating, hasn't it?
Clearly.
Clearly. Yeah. I was going to say, crikey.
I don't know. I'm here to learn, quite frankly. Just in case anything happens, I'm here to learn.
Yeah, so I've just come back from... Well, I've been back in Melbourne now for a little while, so mm-hmm. I've started dating again. Mm-hmm. And it's come to my recollection that it's hell.
So hang on. I need to get an idea of your relative expertise in this area, gentlemen. So, James, how long have you been dating since you've been back in Melbourne?
Oh, 3 months.
3 months. Jono?
But I've been single pretty much my entire life.
No. We're focusing on the here and now.
Right, okay.
Well, I sort of probably only been dating the last 6 months. I mean, I've been single for 18 months.
And okay.
For the first 12 months, I was forbidden from dating.
From who?
Oh, SJ,
yourself?
My co-presenter. You know, she decided that I wasn't allowed to date for a year because I had to get my life in order.
Right.
But now I'm allowed to start dating again.
Is your life in order?
Well, I'm not really, but, you know, it's still time to start dating, I think. So you're sort of back on the game.
Okay.
And yeah, you're right, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Go.
Hang on, Michael, how long?
Oh, look, on and off for a good 3 years. At least 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, but there's with breaks in the middle. You know,
have you given up yet?
Oh, well, we'll get on to that, won't we?
Yes. So let's talk about what is, in today's day and age, in 2014, in Melbourne, what is dating? Like, at what point do you decide that you are dating a person versus you're quietly fucking him when you're both bored?
Well, it's there is a big difference.
Yeah.
It's like if you're meeting outside the house, not, you know, in a park or a public toilet or whatever. If you're meeting outside the house for a beverage or a meal,
yes.
I highly recommend not the meal for first dates, by the way. We'll get to that later.
Yes.
Then that is dating. Or if you go and see a show or something. When your primary purpose for meeting is not to fuck.
Right.
That is dating.
Well, there's two whole types of it, isn't there? Because there's the guys that you meet and you have the shag and you do all that, and then you have another shag and you decide you quite like them, so then you invite them on a date. And then there's the guys that you go on a date with first off that you've not met, or you may have met through friends, and you go on a date and then the shagging comes later, doesn't it?
Yes.
So there's like two types, and I think I've experienced both, and I don't know which one's better.
Yeah, because usually the fuck buddies that I've had in the past, like, I really don't want to have a conversation with them. You just want to get it over and done.
Really?
Well, yeah, because, you know, it ruins the whole facade of, you know, the chemistry that you have in the bedroom, which is sad.
I always offer them a glass of wine and a cigarette afterwards.
Oh, that's lovely. No, I was like, clean yourself
up. Your mother raised you well.
Yeah.
it's, I don't, I this is the thing between making a new friend and dating, right? Now, there's obviously, there's going to be those friends who you're going to catch up with and get naked with occasionally, right? Okay. Those ones who just, you know, and you know they're going to be friends. Oh, well, you don't know yet, but eventually end up being friends.
Yeah.
You're not really dating as such. But then you've got those people who you see all the time. You go out to the movies or, yep. or something with, and then you try and let things happen, and then nothing does happen because you get all friend nervous zone. And that becomes the friend zone. So there's all these different little circles that just keep connecting and joining and overlapping at times.
Is it difficult for gay men because, I'm going to be rampantly stereotypical here, so keep your vitriol...
We've heard it before. It up.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just thinking because we have it so easy...
To hook up.
Mm. Is it difficult to do the traditional, in air quotes, dating thing where you meet somebody, you have a couple of drinks, you maybe kiss them on the first one, maybe some under the shirt action on the second date, then you only get, you know, naked on the third date? I mean, is this antiquated?
No, I think what the issue is the fact that we're all men. Mm. Like, you know, how many straight men do you come across saying, oh, I really want to be in a relationship? None. How many women do you see, straight women, that say, oh, I really want a boyfriend, really want a boyfriend? All of them. Mm. And then how many lesbians do you know that are single? Hardly any. You know, they're all in relationships. I think it's a fact that we're all men.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All we want to do is just bend someone over and go for it, really, in the end. Well, not the only thing, but one of the major things.
Well, yeah, as long as there's sex involved, you know, it keeps it together.
But does there have to be? Like, I've actually, in the last 6 months, started, like, just messaging guys and meeting new people for dates.
Mm-hmm.
And strictly for dates. Like, I've got my, you know, fuck buddies and that's all fine. Yeah. But just for dates. And I've actually met a whole lot of people, and none of them so far have actually eventuated into anything more.
Yeah.
And some of them I've met a second time and others I haven't. But I actually quite enjoy dating, just meeting new people, learning their stories and taking someone out for a meal or a drink.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, it would probably be quite good if it eventuated to something else, but it hasn't. I don't feel I've lost anything by it not.
What is old is new again in Jonna's dating world. You're doing the traditional dating thing.
Yeah, and it's a bit scary because my previous two partners were both, you know, shags that became boyfriends.
See, one of my mates really stood by that. He's like, no, stop dating. You should go out, meet someone in a bar, hook up with them again. Actually, you can probably tell who this is by the way that I'm speaking. Uh-huh. And then, if you like them, then you should be them.
Great topics, great radio.
Hide and Seek.
Touching our community. Right around the nation.
Hide and Seek.
Reaching far and wide. Stream us now. Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Touching our community, reaching far and wide.
Yeah.
My God. Someone put a lot of effort into that one. You're with James Finlay and Arby Miller, by the way, on Hide and Seek.
Your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. We've got Jono and Michael in the studio. We're talking dating. And so we thought we should get the experts in.
Mm.
On the line at the moment is Vinko from Beau Brummel in Sydney. Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek.
Good evening.
Now, tell us what Beau Brummel is.
Well, Beau Brummel is it's a very old-fashioned concept and an introduction agency for gay men, of course, where we are very much about looking after people who want a long-term relationship and share time and spend a life with somebody. And I guess it's a little bit like Andrea and I, dating everybody to get to know them first and then feel confident we know them well enough. And then in an old-fashioned way of matchmaking, introduce them to, I guess, people that they don't often have the opportunities to meet and they inspire to meet.
So it's what my grandmother would have called the Yenta service.
Courting.
But it's very. I mean, we find that a lot of people are wanting that, you know, the faster the world gets, the more that they're looking for something that that's a little bit more substantial and a little bit more old-fashioned. And you know, our client really wants a monogamous relationship as well. And they're finding it difficult in the world today to meet people of similar morals and values, I guess.
And how is your success rate, Vinco?
I mean, I have to tell you, we are at the moment at about, I think, 87%.
What? Success. Ding, ding. That's pretty good.
Hang on, wait. What is classified as a success?
Sorry, say that again.
What's classified as a success?
Success is we only attach ourselves to people and offer memberships to people that we feel confident we will reach success with. So if we've introduced you to somebody and you've been with them for over 12 months, we consider that success.
Gosh.
So we've got nationally, we have an office in Melbourne, we have an office in Sydney and in Brisbane, and we work with people nationally and internationally. But out of 300 and I think 42 clients at the moment, don't quote me on that, we've created, I think in 2 years of matching, 32 relationships, and we have 93 couples dating at the moment.
So what are the kind of questions that you ask the participants?
Oh, we don't really ask too many questions, to be honest. You have to ask quite, you know, sort of standard questions, but it's mostly spending time when we get to know each client. We spend time with them in getting to know them through stories and knowing out really? About their life, so that we can then, you know, find out what their passions, what their needs, what their wants are, and their desires, I guess, and who they want to be with. And so, then from there, you know, match them to their equal.
So, Vinco, if take us through what the process would be for a new sign up. Somebody phones you up, says, "I want to join Bo Brummer." What process do they go through before they have their first date?
Our branding and marketing is very much through the, of course, gay media, but very much of a mainstream media as well. And people contact us mostly by through word of mouth, and as well as seeing our branding marketing editorial, and that's been done on the business. And then from the first initial phone call, we have a long, maybe half an hour, 15 minutes to half an hour chat.
Yeah, but what do you ask them, Vinco?
Well, we don't really ask. We ask the general information about their life to find whether they're a similar client to what our existing clients are. And then we meet them in person. We meet everybody in person. And then, I mean, physical side of things, yes, you have to have certain morals and values, of course, in this, in you know, that match our clients.
Mm.
But then people that we work with, and there are criteria.
Measure them up, so to speak.
Well, perhaps. That comes on the third date with us.
Yeah, right.
And from there, we really just get to know people through stories. It's just about, you know, getting to know them well enough to be able to share that story with somebody else who we know well enough, and in the same way like themselves, to be able to feel that they're suitable to each other. I mean, I love constitutional building side of things with people, and if they've grown up in the same similar way, and doesn't matter what they do today and what their life is today, this is one of those things that I think if people have similar constitutional building, they tend to work together as people. And everyone that works with us is on the same page. They all come because they understand what it means to work with a professional, and they understand that they would need better, not necessarily better quality of people, but people that are their equal, that want the same thing. So everyone that's on board is, you know, there for the same reasons. They want a long-term relationship, they want a monogamous one, and they just want us to do the first six dates with everybody and then introduce them to each other, I guess. And that's I think the reason why success is so high is because it's so personal, I think.
So how many
I'd like to think anyway.
On average, how many dates would a client have? I mean, would you only introduce them to one person, or would you kind of have a few backups?
Oh, I wish I could say only one person, because then it would be
nearly 100%.
I mean, I think, but I would say out of 32, the relationship we created, I would say half a dozen to nine, don't quote me on the number, couples that we've created has been on the first introduction. But okay, the rest, our main thing is that every introduction out there is a pleasant experience. And the word to the clients is, please remove the whole dating process out of it and just go and meet people that we would introduce you to and do everything possible to make it a pleasant experience.
So, Vinka, do you train or coach people on what makes a good date? I mean,
absolutely.
So what, from your point of view, what makes a good date?
What are some of the trade secrets?
Yeah.
My main thing, Avi, is that to go onto a date with really open arms. Body mirror imaging is very powerful. And I think if you go with no expectations and open arms and to meet the people and to be interested in what they do and what their life is about and telling them a little bit about your passion and what you desire, it will get the best out of each other. And from there, it becomes about interest. It becomes about, you know, flirting. And it becomes about touch, about somebody, you know, sharing a joke or a little bit of banter. I think a lot of the time the success comes from that we share so much with each client prior to them meeting that person, so that there is familiarity and they have this common sort of almost feel like they know each other before they meet. So the groundwork is done.
Thank you so much for sharing with us tonight on Hide and Seek.
One more question.
I love that I'm speaking to Melbourne.
Yeah, so you are.
What are you guys doing?
And one more question, Vinko. Are you single?
Oh, no, I'm not single. My partner in business and life is Andrea, and very, very happily married.
Bless.
Fantastic.
That was a big inspiration to the business, I guess.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. James Findlay is with me, Abby Miller.
And we are talking about dating. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Tell us your dating stories.
We've had a text in from Jordan. He's loving the show tonight, guys.
Must be my presence. Thanks, Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan. We did decide to get someone pretty. We've got someone smart, so we got someone pretty.
That would be me, wouldn't it?
Who are you?
Yeah. There we go. We've also had another text in from Ron, who said the most fun he had on a date was a haircut date. It was a second date, and it was relaxed and fun getting their hair cut together.
No. Was he the hairdresser, and was he thinking it was a date when it wasn't?
Because I don't have any hair, so this wouldn't work for me. So Jono and I are out of this picture. James and Michael as our hair-wearing friends.
I never go to the hairdresser with anyone.
No, same. By myself, that's it. That's my time.
I don't even like when the hairdresser talks to me.
Yeah, well, it depends who that is.
But yeah. See, I'm not a good gay. I don't have a good gay hairdresser.
Well, you don't have any hair, babe.
No, I know, but I do get it. I get it
shaved,
but I get it cutthroat.
Can you just
shaved.
Do that at home?
No. I like a straight razor with the shaving cream.
Yeah, mine takes about 10 minutes, so it wouldn't take much of a date.
Yeah, see,
dating if it was a haircut.
I
date
like
for
a
me.
Nice hot Italian man with a cutthroat razor and some hair shavy gel. The shaving okay. cream and yes.
Getting back to dating.
Okay, so boys who are dating, Michael, James and Jono, what makes a good first date?
Good first date has to be something that possibly, depending on what date you're on, if it's first, second, 10th, 20th, it has to.
If it's 20th,
I know,
you're together.
Hang on, we're going to get to that.
No, it has to be something that possibly could continue on. There's an option, a bit of an option open to continue things later. you know, depending on if you're liking that person. That's one thing. And it has to be something that obviously you both like.
How do you... Okay, so let's talk about first dates in particular. How do you know that what you've picked or has been picked for you is something you're going to enjoy? I'll use an absurd example. If I went on a first date and somebody took me rock climbing, no, I'm not going to enjoy
much,
it.
Too much. Just meet for a simple drink or a coffee somewhere for a first date.
Yeah, I just wanted like a drink and, you know, a bit of conversation. And then, you know, I don't want to...
They might be crazy.
Yeah. And then if they're nice, I'll invite them to something, you know, in the next, you know, couple of days. I'll find, you know, a comedy show or something to go to with them.
What makes for a good first date venue then? If it's coffee or a drink, then they're probably good venues and bad venues. Is Starbucks an appropriate first date venue, or is that too casual?
No.
Okay.
You need somewhere that is not too loud, so you're able to have a conversation, because conversation is very important for a first date. And yeah, you want somewhere easily accessible. Somewhere a bit cool as well.
I'm going to put this out there too. I don't think it should be a gay venue. I think it should be just a nice sort of restaurant, cafe, wine bar type thing. I wouldn't take them to, you know, the Peel or the Greyhound for a first date.
If you take someone to a first date to a gay bar, one of you or both of you will be looking at other things.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, you could meet someone there. So if it's not a first date, they are absolutely suitable places to meet someone.
Oh, sure.
Not a great place to take someone.
No, that's right.
Okay.
Joy. Hide and seek.
So sexy it hurts.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. James Fillet and RV Miller with you. It is 10:30, half an hour to go. We are talking dating. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Let us know your dating stories, your dating tips even.
Yeah.
I was going to say, coming back to first dates,
yes.
Something I don't want on a first date is I don't want someone else's baggage. I think that's important. Like, you want to get to know the person, but I think on a first date it's really important to be positive, not go in there and say, well, I broke up with my ex a while ago and I've got this and I've got that and I'm unemployed. You know, I want to know all the positive things about you, not all your sort of recent history and baggage. And like, I'm guilty of that, like going on dates and saying, talking about exes and mistakes in the past. I think, especially for a first date, you need to sell yourself.
Yeah, and you're not going to be able to sell it by talking about your flaws.
Yeah.
I went on the most amazing first date a couple of weeks ago. It was incredible. So we met in a bar, right?
Hang on. So you met for the first time
in a bar. Okay. This was not the date.
Okay.
But we met at a bar.
Right.
And we kind of bumped into each other and were flirting. And then I had to leave because my friends were leaving. And so he's like, oh, would you like my number? I'm like, you know what? Actually, I think I will take your number.
Mm-hmm.
So took his number and then arranged to meet at a bar a couple of weeks later. And we did. And it was great. We chatted for 5 hours. Nonstop. And it was great. We both had, you know, great things to talk about. He was funny. He was smart. He was charming. Blah, blah, blah. And then we arranged to meet the next week.
And?
It was awful.
Oh.
It was horrendous.
Why so horrendous?
Okay. You know, can I make a Sex and the City reference?
Sure.
Will you understand?
Sure.
Okay. So when Miranda is going on this date with this really hot, attractive guy and she it went really well. And then the second date, she was like, oh my God, got really cocky about it. She's like, oh yeah, I'm fun. I'm attractive, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, what the hell has happened to you? You've turned into this cocky bitch.
Right.
That happened to him.
Oh.
So all of a sudden he was all this cocky guy and I'm like, who are you? Like, does that so lovely last week.
Does that not mean that you're the pretty one though? I mean, the takeaway from that for me is I'm pretty.
I was the pretty one. but we went to a couple of shows, went to a couple of bars, and then at the end of the night
this
I was
wasn't
thinking,
the person that we bumped into you at a show with at comedy festival.
No. Oh, no, that's something else.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Just joking.
We're not talking about that. We can talk about it later. So then at the end, towards the end of the night, I was thinking, I do not want this to go any further. Like, I was thinking, oh, what can I do? Where can I go? What excuses can I make? And then when he returned for the bathroom, he's like, oh, I've forgot to tell you, I've got to work tomorrow, actually. I'm like, no worries. I'll see you later. See you.
Thanks for coming.
It was awful. And then he didn't even text me the next day to say thank you, because I took him to two shows. I got free tickets, but still, that's not the point.
Okay, so bad things to do on a first date, Jono, bringing your baggage.
Oh, major baggage. Mm. I'd even go as far as saying lying.
Mm-hmm.
Right, little lies like I can deal with, like little tiny.
I've climbed Everest. Tiny, I've swum the channel.
Yeah, those sorts of little lies.
Those are fine.
The ones you wouldn't even notice. Yeah.
You don't have to prove them.
No, exactly.
Because
the issue is, come the second date and the third date, if I find out you've been lying, that's it. You're gone. You're finished.
Who's lying to you, Mike?
Oh, everyone lies to me.
What?
Everyone lies
to me.
People
try to upsell themselves. You know,
really?
If they chat to you online and say, you know, I work out a lot, and it's like you've walked to the fast food store. Back,
so
you know.
Now I'm going to ask a controversial question.
Oh, here we go.
There we go. I'm openly HIV positive and came out on the station.
Mm-hmm.
You meet somebody new. When do you want them to tell you they're HIV positive?
I wouldn't expect them to tell me, because if it got to that stage of having sex,
yes,
then I would put the question out in some way.
Mm.
I don't expect people to disclose everything to me in the first date or the first 5 minutes.
Well, no. And then if you're... I can't remember what you said. But
neither can I.
Nice hosting there, James.
I was distracted by
your guests.
Distracted by the messages that came in.
Yeah, for the whole dating side of things, it's irrelevant.
Mm.
Well, no, it is.
But for me.
Well, it's not for people who are HIV positive, because
the stigma that is placed in it, and then you don't want to come across people who will get rid of you just because you are positive.
Correct. So there's this big...
safety barrier that you put up.
Also, there's this concern with pos guys who date, going, should I be out on the first date just to get it over with? If he doesn't want to date me, then at least I don't invest anything. But by the third or fourth date, I might quite like this guy.
Yeah.
Then I tell him that I'm positive, and then he fucks off. And I'm like, now I'm emotionally invested. Mm. Well, true. I mean, at least you get that. But there is I am curious to know from a non-positive perspective, what would be your preference as to when you would, or it really doesn't matter, and you'll deal with that.
I want to know before I jump into bed with them, especially if I'm going to be dating them, but prior to that, it's not so important. And saying that, I did go on a date with someone last year, and I was messaging backwards and forwards before the date, and he said, I just want to tell you two things before we go on this date that may put you off. Firstly, I'm a smoker, and secondly, I'm HIV positive. And I said, neither of those are a problem. Let's have a cigarette.
Let's have a cigarette. I've got condoms.
Yeah, exactly.
We've had a few texts in on 0427JOY949. The first text, can you get a date via a dating in air quotes app, or is that just for sex?
No, of course you can get dates from dating apps.
But you have to kind of be upfront about that, don't you?
Yeah, don't have your profile saying bottom for now.
Yeah.
It's probably going to help.
Or don't put a picture of your very good-looking torso and then put relationship and friends.
Yeah,
and then expect me to want to talk to you for anything more than a quick blowjob in the corner somewhere.
Can I also point out, it's been a while because I have been in a relationship for 2 years. I still go on them every now and then just to look around, window shop. But anybody who has a headless torso who says face pic mandatory is an insta block.
Yeah.
If you're going to demand a face pic from me, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. That's
totally true.
Yes.
People are idiots. There are a lot of people that are idiots.
But yes, you can get a date from those apps.
Yeah.
I've chatted to people on the apps and I've just met them for a glass of wine or a cup of coffee or a good headline is I've got free comedy festival tickets and you get lots of messages.
Someone's using their perks.
Jordan, our friend Jordan, who's loving the show, has texted in again on 0427JOY949. He doesn't understand why people would take me on a first date to the movies. It's not a very good place to get to know someone, especially if that's your intention for the date.
Yeah, because you can't have a conversation in the movie theatre. And if you are talking in the movie theatre, expect me to shush you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly a great date if you're in a couple. If you're having a date night as a couple, then gold class movie and a drink and dinner afterwards.
Not even gold class. But if it's
I don't slum it.
Second or third date, I think movies is quite good because you can go and have dinner because that's a dinner then.
Yes.
And then you can go and watch the movie.
Yep.
And then, you know, it stretches out the night. Then you can go have a drink afterwards.
I think, talk about the movie.
Yeah, because you've got something extra to talk about.
Indeed. And Jordan would like to make everybody aware of the fact that he's happily single, loving it, and loving the cub life. I assume it's cub life, Jordan.
Or maybe club life.
It could be club life. It could be cub life. It could be the cub club life.
Exactly.
He could be clubbing cubs. I don't know. Is that something?
How many dates do you have to go on before you're actually dating someone?
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. At what point are you dating?
At least four.
Okay.
Five. Four.
Within a specific time period? Like if you've done four dates over 12 months, I don't think you're dating.
No,
I think
you're forgetful. Who would do that? Mm. Like, obviously, if you don't want to see them again, like within a period of months, then you're
I'm not very not good with names, again. Faces, or places.
So what you've...
So I have hooked up with the same person twice, not remembering that I've hooked up with them
I've
in the past.
I've done that before as well.
We've all done that. Yeah. All guilty.
It was right before I left Australia, and this guy said, like, I went home with him and we had sex, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, look, I'm pretty sure we've
done this before.
I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, aren't you on the radio? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, I am. Yeah, no, we've done this before. I'm like, look, you're probably talking about Nath. I don't think it's me. I think I would have remembered. And then the next week I ran into him at the club again. I'm like, I remember now. This happened. And I could remember the whole time that we hooked up the time before.
And on that bombshell, it's time to take a quick break. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Uplifting, informing, empowering.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. My name's Avi Miller. Over there is James Findlay. Over there is Jono from Froth on Tuesday mornings with SJ.
I'm very amused by the message that's just come in.
There you go. I'm going to get to that one. And over there is Michael from Backseat S&M on Monday Drive.
Thank
and
you,
Babble Andy. Pop.
And Babble Pop and at 6 at 6 and everything else you can think of.
Indeed. Now, we've had a text in on 0427 Joy 949. And I'll tell Michael and Jono who sent this one in later. Does being a Joy presenter help or hinder dating?
Hinder.
You reckon? Why?
Can't you go, totally don't you know who I am? I'm on the wireless.
Yeah, but then why are they with you?
I think people
are on the radio?
I think people are sometimes scared you're going to talk about them on the radio.
And you do, though.
Well, yeah. I do, but I don't really necessarily name them, do I? So.
Yeah, but they still know that you're talking about them. Yeah, but I still do that anyway. That's nervous. That hasn't stopped people.
I'll go with it if they say what? Who? What? Yeah. And then I'll go with it then. That's fine.
Do you... Oh, well, that raises an interesting question. If you say to someone, oh, I volunteer at Joy, I'm on the radio, and they go, what's Joy? Does that put you off dating them?
No.
If somebody doesn't know what Joy is?
No. I actually don't tell anyone until, you know... a long way down the track that I'm on radio. I don't tell them what I do.
Why?
Because I don't want them knowing that I'm on the radio.
I like to, if I'm sharing with someone over a date and I'm telling about my interests and my hobbies, Joy is a big part of that.
Mm.
So it's like when they say, what do you do? It's like, well, I work in the insurance industry and I broadcast on Joy.
Yeah, but the thing is, if they listen to Joy, they already, and they listen to you, they already know a lot about you. And I'd rather them
not... me having to tell them.
Here's my podcast. I'll get back to you in 3 weeks once you've done your history.
But there's a couple of things. Like, they're already going to prejudge on who you are because what you are on the radio. And B, I'm not the same person on the radio as I am, like, right, you know, when I'm on a date anyway. Like, or when I'm at home, you know, cooking dinner or whatever. Like, if I was like this all the time, I'd be... Nath Valvo. Like, it would just be too much.
Yeah, and I sound like a complete whore on the radio.
Well,
like,
so do I. SJ people makes think fun that I'm a complete whore because of what I talk about on the radio.
But
then when they do meet me and expect me to, like, be a complete whore, that's a different
thing. Do they get insulted when you actually do ask for money?
Yeah.
God, the amount of times I should have charged.
Now, speaking of which, what are your thoughts on screw... do you screw the Joy crew?
Do I have to comment on this? Have you met any of the Joy crew?
All four of us are in the studio, so steady on. We should admit that I have slept with people who broadcast on Joy. I am currently sleeping with someone who broadcasts on Joy, but we are in a relationship, and I think we're allowed to.
Yeah.
I think we're required by law.
Look, there's over 300 volunteers here, and I can count the number I've slept with on one hand.
So yeah, I think it's quite good. There are a number of people at Joy I'd like to sleep with.
Yes, yes, and that's on more than one hand.
Yeah. It's getting better.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
it is.
I started volunteering at Joy 2 years ago, and slim pickings, but Joy volunteers of the now, by the way, people.
Oh, is it getting better?
Oh, yeah.
No, maybe I should hang around a bit more.
Your show alone has pushed our bell. Yeah. You're over on one end of a bell curve there, my friend.
I don't have unattractive friends.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've slept with anyone from Joy.
Get a move on.
what are you doing after the show?
We can rectify that.
Yeah, all right.
So we do have some sort of famous relationships at Joy. Obviously, Chris and Cam from the CNC Drive Factory. It's a big one. Andrew and I, we do hide and seek together. Andrew and I are
David
a couple.
And Sue.
David and Sue.
Typical marriage there.
Oh, dear. And in fact, I started volunteering at Joy because of Andrew. So when Andrew and I met, Andrew was a volunteer at Joy. He was a broadcaster. He did his thing. And I realized that his time at Joy was so extensive that I would either have to volunteer at Joy or not date him.
To be able to see him?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because I am about as obsessive as Andrew is. So
yeah, I think there's sort of two sides to that. On one hand, that if you can share an interest together, so you both like doing Joy stuff, that's good. But at the same time, I think also dating someone that's got completely different interests. The last person I dated was involved in the gay community, but in a sporting team, and I was involved in Joy. So we were both quite involved within the community, but on completely separate things. It generally didn't cross over unless he was coming on as a guest to promote the sports team, or I was helping him out with the sports team.
Were you ball boy, towel boy, Jono? Did you have the bucket and the sponge? Some oranges at halftime.
Something like that. It ended disastrously anyway. So maybe I should have just dated someone from Joy.
We have had a message in on air at joy.org.au from Robert from South Yarra, who's loving the program and he wants to donate to Tech Drive. Robert, if you want to donate, pop over to joy.org.au and click the Tech Drive banner. If you can't find the Tech Drive banner, call 1-300-JOY. 949. You can actually do that now because Joe's on the desk. He is ready to take your call.
Wonderful.
I know. And he'll be ready to take your call for the next 9 minutes. So I want to see that phone light flashing. And I'll take your money. I am a whore. I'll take your money.
All right.
It's on my bucket list of things to do. Hire a whore and be one.
Look, I've had,
I think
I've
you've already ticked one of those.
I have not.
I've had a couple of... Well, I used to get it a lot more when I was younger and fresher. But
I've never gotten it. I'm so annoyed.
How old are you? Young and fresh.
I'm 26.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, shut up, you. Yeah.
But when I was younger, I used to get a lot more people offering me money to do things. And it started to happen again for some reason. But I haven't been able to follow through on it.
I have slept with a prostitute, but haven't paid for it. And I only found out that they were also a prostitute afterwards. But also that unfortunately doesn't count.
No, that doesn't count. No. Because they've slept with you because they wanted to.
Correct. Well, I'm flattered. I mean, don't get me wrong. Loved it.
Oh, actually, I've done the same thing.
Let's take it back to the topic because we got tangentially removed there slightly. Would you date a sex worker?
No, not if they were still
operating.
Operating. I don't know. I guess if you're in a monogamous relationship or a, open relationship.
But it's their work.
Yeah, but no.
It's that whole, am I sleeping with your feelings or am I sleeping with you sort of deal, That's tricky. That's a hard one.
It's not that I can't, separate things. I mean, I was in an open relationship for 5 years and it worked fine. There was
clearly, because you're still together.
It worked fine for 5 years.
That's what was it. Why do we judge the success of a relationship? Why couldn't it have been a very successful 5-year relationship? Why is the fact that a relationship ended a mark of non-success?
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I've read things about this as well, as like because apparently it is not normal for human beings to have monogamous relationships for years and years and years and not an end. And why can't you say, oh yes, I had a successful 5 or 10 or 15 relationship with this person?
Or 2 year relationship. What's wrong with a successful 2 year relationship?
I still say it was a successful 5 year relationship. We're still good friends, just a relationship, but it had run its course. Yeah. Our lives were going in different directions, so we ended the relationship, but we still talk on the phone every couple of days. We still see each other. We're just not sleeping with each other.
Do you still
fuck? We're not in a relationship. No.
No.
Okay.
No.
And on the flip side, you know, I had a what I classify as a very successful 10-year relationship. The extra 3 years to make it a 13-year relationship weren't as successful, but the first 10 were pretty good. And now we don't speak. We haven't seen each other for 6 months.
See, that's why I ended it after 5 years, because I wanted to end it, like, we could tell it was going to end, it wasn't going to last, it was kind of running out. It was better to end it on a good note and that we're still friends and we're still buddies, rather than have to go through another sort of 3 years where it all fell apart and we end up not talking to each other.
Okay, so we are rapidly running out of time, so a quick whip around. Best first date ever, James.
Oh, what? Oh, didn't even have any notice. I'll say the one that I had 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Well, where we went to a bar, we chatted for 5 hours, it was amazing. Then we
were second date, but there we go. Best first date,
I really can't remember the best first date I've been on.
Really? Well, good.
Probably we went down to Mornington Peninsula and had a couple of wineries and stuff down there. We'd already shagged a couple of times before that. Then we decided we're going on a date. So
that's nice.
Yeah, it was quite nice.
Bar, South Bank, fantastic, all day, all night. And then he fucked off about a month later. So
South Bank? What are you, a tourist?
Look, it was one of those, you know, quick spur of the moment type deals.
Let's just go down here. Oh, no. No thought put into it.
No, they worked well in the end.
Okay.
It was successful. Just because it wasn't in a flashy place.
Successful date.
That's right.
Arvi, what about yours?
I haven't dated.
No. Still, best first date.
Well, the best first date technically was how I met my current partner, oddly enough, was I was working the cloakroom at a leather dance party. And I had been perving at him for years. So I had seen him out and about at various pubs. And I had
stalker.
I'd always seen him and going, oh, he's quite nice. Yep. You know, but never approached. Our circles at that stage had never intersected.
Mm.
And then we both landed up working the cloakroom at Melbourne's very famous leather dance parties years ago. And it was a very cold night. And I was wearing neoprene, which is great because it's very warm. And he was wearing less. So he would huddle behind me for warmth. And that was how we spent most of the evening. Was
there's
him.
A picture book in that, isn't there?
Get out. There's a photograph of the two of us on Facebook.
It's been behind you ever since.
There we go. That's the way to finish.
Thank you so much, Michael and Jono, for joining us and sharing your dating stories. If you'd like to date Michael or Jono.
Yes, I'm completely available.
Text them on their respective shows.
Dating.
Just open up Grindr. You'll find them both, I guess.
Last plug, Michael, you are on.
Okay, here we go. Every fortnight, 6 o'clock, 6 to 6, Monday to Friday, 4 to 7 on a Monday, back to S&M, and then 7 o'clock Saturday for Babble Pop.
6 o'clock Saturday, I forgot.
7.
7 now?
7, I've moved.
7 for Babble Pop.
I've changed.
Jono, you are on.
Tuesday breakfast, but not next Tuesday. No. But I'm doing Friday Drive tomorrow. David's who have gone on holiday or something. So.
You also have another show on a Wednesday night.
Sound Museum on Wednesday nights.
There you go. Sound Museum on Wednesday
night. It's been a joyful week.
Indeed. Yeah. And James, we can catch you next week. Same bat place, same
just
bat
here.
Phone.
Yeah, Thursday's my day.
Thursday's your day. You're doing breakfast and you open the day on joy and you close the day on joy.
That's it. Mine and joy. I don't think my day's going to be closing tonight.
There you go. You have been on Hide and Seek. Always, you can follow us on Twitter at Hide Seek on Joy. You can check out our podcast, joy.org.au/hideandseek. It's also on iTunes and Stitcher and various other places. I've been Avi Miller.
And I've been James Finlay. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.